The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Reform UK, changing politics for good, 1,280 votes.
What's happened is a truly historic shift in British politics.
The uniparty grip, arrogance of taking the electorate for granted is over. It's done.
So it's a big, big day. It's a big, big day, not just for our party, but for a complete reshaping of British politics in every way.
Meanwhile, the Justice Minister, Sarah Sackman, conceded it has been a tough night, but she attempted to downplay the significance for the Prime Minister's leadership.
The early results are very difficult. They're a bitter pill to swallow.
It's chaos. Starmer is paralysed. He will not be able to do it much about it, and it will end in tears.
Let's look at the overall results, and here we have the clear lead for Reform UK. There it is, 321 gains. Here is the bad news for Labour. They're on 219 seats, but they were on a lot more because they've lost 235. They are by far and away the biggest losers of the night.
It does appear to be a very changing landscape is emerging. A night of huge success for Reform UK so far. The party swept up council seats across England, taking every seat possible in the places it was defending or fighting for the first time in most cases.
Well, we have been saying for months that this is going to be judgment day for the Prime Minister. And from the early results, and it is still early days, lots more still to come, it does look as though the judgment of voters on Keir Starmer is even harsher than some of the very bad predictions that we have been seeing.
It appears Reform UK, under leadership of Nigel Farage, has penetrated the red wall Labour seats.
The people are speaking, aren't they? I mean, this is an earthquake moment for the country. This is a final goodbye to the two-party system that we've seen for many a decade. And the people have had enough. And they are basically saying we are very, very unhappy. And they are sending a message back to Westminster that, you know, that they want to see change.
Massive upheaval in the United Kingdom in local elections there. It's not the Conservative Party. It's not the Labour Party, like that gentleman there said at the end. It's the end of this two-party system that we've known for decades. And this isn't just happening in the United Kingdom. This is happening all over the world. And we've got lots at the Trumpet about political upheaval, about this age of protest, the rise of populism. In the UK, though, is Nigel Farage's Reform Party. He's done it again. He had UKIP. I don't think they ever won elections the way Reform is winning. But he's pretty much back on top. This wasn't a general election where the prime minister is decided and members of parliament are chosen. It's kind of like the equivalent of maybe like congressional elections in the United States, that level below a presidential election. But you see these big parties that have been in power for so long being dismantled. It wasn't just Labour that was demolished in that election. It was the Conservative Party, which you could say they're like Rhino Republicans maybe in the United States. And the MAGA party is surging in the UK, or this Reform Party. Populism is surging across Europe. NBC News, Starmer's Labour suffers huge losses as hard-right Reform gains in UK elections. Early results Friday from nationwide elections in Britain suggested a historic drubbing for Prime Minister Keir Starmer's Labour Party and sweeping gains for hard-right, or you could just say right, Reform UK, led by Trump ally Nigel Farage. And this was a huge, huge shift. And of course, there's not going to be as much turnout for those local elections, similar to in the United States. You can't always just draw that out into a general election where a lot more people are going to be stirred up to vote. But certainly that sentiment is there, and Keir Starmer is losing control. I think he was elected That would have been, I think, summer of 2024. So it could be, you know, it's every 4 or 5 years that they have a general election. But he could call an election. I doubt that he would if he's in such a weak position. But again, you just see the United Kingdom being just stagnant, powerless, and they've got all of the social issues that we don't have time to get into today, with the rise of Islam that they're not confronting immigration, the welfare state. You can see just some of these charts, if you want to put them on the screen, just how quickly this party has surged. This was in one council area. You see that red bar is Labour and just nosedives straight down. And then you see Reform, that light blue, or the, I think that's teal or whatever color it is surging just straight up. And these are in areas that Labour has controlled for many, many decades. They're losing power. This next chart shows that they took 561 of these councillor positions, while the Conservatives lost 220 and Labour lost 319. John McDonnell, he's Jeremy Corbyn's right-hand man. Corbyn was the far-left, out-and-out Marxist that was, I think he ended up being the leader of the Labour Party for a little while. He wasn't prime minister. But his right-hand man, John McDonnell, he said, "This is a nightmare. It's my worst nightmare in terms of politics this year. Electorally, it is, because we lose our base." Annabel Denham at the Telegraph writes, "It is Nigel Farage who is laughing now. Last month, Farage told me he was nervous about these elections. He needn't have been. Whatever your view of Reform, the scale of transformation is remarkable. When the party held its first conference in 2021, so this is just 5 years ago, it was polling at around 3% and had won just two councillors in that year's local elections. So from two up to 561. This is resurgent, this party. People are upset. The left is panicking, and similar to the left in the United States, I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, Donald Trump is going to lose the, or Republicans will lose the House, but you've got all this drama with the Supreme Court and these districts being redrawn, where a lot of people are saying, well, now it looks like Republicans could maintain control of the House. And of course, that helps President Trump, because the big thing he avoids with that is if Democrats get power, they're just going to try to impeach him every other day of the week. But if you ignore the media for a little bit, there is this bit of resurgence going on in the United States and in the United Kingdom. And it's shallow, like we've said on this show. God is giving our nations one last chance to repent, making the conditions right so that a warning message can go out. And the United States and in Britain, they're saying if this was a general election, Reform would actually be in control of the government in the UK. This party that was formed 5 years ago, led by Nigel Farage. A lot of people excited. A lot of people see these political parties as the solution in the United States. The jobs reports, they come out and they just outdo all of the predictions from the left-wing analysts. And they have to concede, well, it looks like President Trump is pulling this off. Here's a montage of the latest reaction to the jobs numbers in the United States. Clip one.
This was a big beat for the job market. Look at this. So the U.S. economy adding 115,000 jobs in April. That's almost twice as much as the consensus from economists.
Wow. Brand new job numbers giving a big victory to President Trump again. A lot higher than they thought.
Yeah, this is a big jump, Brian, from what economists had predicted. They had anticipated a gain of about 60,000 jobs. The Labor Department now reporting the job market grew by 115,000 in April. The unemployment rate was unchanged at 4.3%. There were gains in healthcare, transportation, and retail trade. Overall, this is a sign of the labor market's resiliency despite high gas prices because of the war in Iran.
This definitely fits, I think, with this broader theme that we've seen since early this year, is a lot more stability in the labor market.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, right? That's a very important buffer. I'd like to see wages growing a little bit faster than what we saw in this. But, you know, the first thing is to have a paycheck. Yep. And then think about, like, how fast is that paycheck growing? So I think in general, this is a good, in terms of, we see more resilience. And remember, you know, wasn't that many months ago, we were pretty concerned about the direction of the labor market.
Right.
This is much better.
Paul, do you agree with me that the general zeitgeist in this studio has been, you know what, it's healing?
Yeah.
I think that's sort of what we've heard.
That's the perception of a lot of people, not just MAGA Republicans, but even left-wingers. Oh, this is working. They're saying it's healing. And if there is this resurgence, again, this is God's doing, like we've covered on this show pretty thoroughly. But you look at even the jobs reports, you could look at the the stock market, there's just no substance to it, because what God is after is repentance. And these our nations are not turning back to God, like Mr. Stephen Fleury was saying on the show all this week. It's fake religion. It's saying God's name, but not doing what God says. I thought, just in the context of that election in the UK, you see these similarities between Israel or the Judah. You see Ephraim, which is Great Britain, and then Manasseh, the United States, all have these similar political movements. In the U.S., it's the MAGA right, you know, pushing out the Rhino Republicans, pushing out the Democrats, Obama being silenced. In Israel, of course, Netanyahu has been there forever. In Britain, now you've got this Reform Party pushing out the conservatives, you could call them the Rhino Republicans, and pushing out Labor. And each of these nations have a similar political climate, battling immigration, fighting against Islam. Similar problems and similar curses. Again, another proof that these are the descendants of ancient Israel. In his booklet, Hosea Reaping the Whirlwind, Mr. Fleury goes to Hosea 5 and verse 5 and talks about how these nations all fall together and that this didn't happen anciently. The United States, Britain, and Judah. Anciently, it was Israel fell first, and then it was about 200 years later, or 150 years later, I don't remember the math, but then Judah falls. These are verses about our time. Mr. Fleury talks about how our nations, they have this, well, you can read the verses there in Hosea 5, verses 4 through 5. They'll turn to anybody for solutions. They'll turn to any party for solutions. They'll turn to Assyria, as we'll get to in a few minutes, but they won't turn to God. And God says, you're committing spiritual whoredoms. Mr. Fleury says, the people do not question their own actions. The spirit of whoredoms has thoroughly perverted their minds. People like to act religious, but they have no desire to truly know God. They are growing worse and worse in their sins. So Ephraim is going to fall hard and fast in their iniquity. And the nation of Judah, or the modern-day nation called Israel, and Manasseh, America, are going to fall with them. This is a prophecy for our time. He later says, this verse speaks of a time when America, Britain, and Judah all fall together. That time is coming in the very near future. There isn't a political solution to this. There's not a party that can be in power that's going to save our nations unless there's national repentance. The other fascinating aspect of this is that Germany is going through a similar upheaval with the AfD and everybody trying to figure out how to counteract them. I'm not saying that the AfD is the same as Reform or the MAGA right, but from the perception of Reform and the MAGA right, they like the AfD. They think, well, they're fighting the same battle. So they trust Germany. They trust that movement happening in Germany. And of course, you go on a few more verses in Hosea 5, and it gets to Hosea 5, and verse 13, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. And in the Hebrew, it talks about Ephraim or Britain and Judah. Today, that's Israel, both going to the Assyrian. You can request this booklet for free if you don't have a copy of it. But Mr. Fleury says that wound, Judah's wound, is this peace process, trying to work with the Arabs. But then both these nations look at Assyria. Mr. Fleury covered yesterday on the show, Israel and Germany sharing fuel. They already exchange weapons systems. They're meeting a lot more together because the United States wants out. Mr. Fleury says, Hosea prophesies that wounded Judah and sick Ephraim will go to Germany for help. Why? Because America is even sicker than both of them and can be of no help at that point. The deadly weakness of these three nations leads to their destruction by Germany at the same time. It's fascinating looking at this. America is, and Donald Trump wants America to be out. Israel is looking to Germany. Britain is talking about sharing a nuclear umbrella with Germany. America wants out. You know, they're saying to Israel, President Trump pressures Netanyahu, make a deal, get this deal done so we can get out of there so we don't have to deal with it anymore. And you can see Judah looking to Germany. Well, we've got to turn to the next power who's going to come in here because, well, it's got to be someone that has more of an interest in the area. And they look to Germany. It's shocking how America is fine with Germany being in control, even though Germany doesn't behave like an ally. It's something that President Trump complained about all through his first term. Why are they working with Russia? Why are they building that pipeline with them? We've spent billions restoring their country, helping them, protecting them. Why don't they trade with us? And he says, we've spent all this money. And Mr. Armstrong talked about how these nations, they're more than happy to take what America is going to give them. And Trump, rightly so, says, why do we keep doing this? But then turns around and says, yeah, well, they're our ally. We'll trust them to rebuild. We might even help them do it. Mr. Trump was talking about trying to get this trade deal done with Europe. Talks about how they had made this agreement that they would have a trade deal. And he says, well, they are not coming to the table with anything. So if we don't have anything agreed to by July 4th, then the tariffs are coming back. And he doesn't think that, well, maybe Germany, maybe the EU, maybe they don't want to sign that. They benefit from this hostility. As I'll get to the article if I've got time. This gives them a pretext. This gives them their cover to do what they want to do. Mr. Fleury, I read this quote on the show earlier this week, and I need to go back and just find when he said this at an even earlier time, but this was, again, September 2018, but Bible prophecies about the next resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire show that Germany will soon be spending substantially more on its military and not within any kind of U.S.-led framework. Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Fleury have been saying that for decades. And you could argue, well, how do you prove Assyria is Germany? Well, this prophecy was given, this forecast was given based on these prophecies, and now you see it happening. Now you see it being fulfilled at the Telegraph, the 10 ways Europe can free itself from U.S. military. They say Europe can become militarily independent of the United States by the end of the decade if its leaders have the political courage to do so, leading German defense figures have said. This is something that Mr. Fleury has said for decades. The mechanisms are all there. The industry is in place. It's the will. It's the need for a strong leader to come in and do in Germany what President Trump does in the United States. But think again about what Mr. Fleury has said, and not within any kind of U.S.-led framework. This article at the Telegraph. But the paper, whose authors include René Obermann, the chairman of Airbus, argues that the expensive dependency on the U.S. for defense can be fixed if European leaders are willing to do so. Another one of these, he sits on a German think tank. The message is the bottleneck is neither money nor technology. It is the political will to act Europeanly, to make decisions and then implement them as quickly and pragmatically as possible. Later, they quote another one. Our allies demand from Europe exactly what we owe ourselves, the ability to act independently. This paper, the Telegraph says, it calls for a system styled on the Manhattan Project, bringing together a historic level of cooperation from European allies to break the reliance on the United States. This is stunning reading these articles. These are secular sources writing what was a trumpet article by Mr. Gerald Fleury in the early 90s, or a World Tomorrow program from Mr. Armstrong in the 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s. They talk about how they need to realign and have Germany, Poland, and France, you know, work on the big issues while the Netherlands and the Baltic nations can work on these other areas, and because they've got to coordinate their military forces because it's too fractured. 10 kings coming together, working together, united for that time. Jeremiah 1 and verse 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. I see a seething pot. Mr. Fleury in the New Throne of David booklet. Again, another one. This is almost 10 years ago now. He says, The seething pot out of the north is a German-led Holy Roman Empire that is going to destroy the nations of Israel and Judah. You can see it building. You can see the pot seething right now in Europe. God twice asked Jeremiah, What do you see? This is something you can see. Do you see what is happening in Europe? It is a seething pot of hatred and revenge toward Israel. They are looking for their strong man so they can use all that economic, political, and military power to reach unparalleled heights. This is a seething pot of nuclear war. Can you see it? Can you see this coming? And all of those quotes are based on Bible prophecy, and you see it being fulfilled. You see the seething pot if your eyes are open. America, Britain, and Israel, they're just behaving like they're totally blind, trusting their lover, trusting this nation they think is an ally. Mr. Fleury later in the Hosea booklet says, It seems the Israelis can trust their worst historical enemy, but they can't trust God to protect them, and God is their only source of help. I mean, that's kind of the theme of all of this, is they'll look to anybody but God. They'll try anything except repentance towards God. You've got Britain, like I said, talking about, you know, helping share a nuclear umbrella with Germany. You've got the Telegraph. I mean, we quote them often. They're now owned by a German company. You can read that article at thetrumpet.com by Mr. Palmer, a warning to Britain silenced. You've got the United States, Manasseh, telling Germany, build your own army. We don't want to take care of you, but we do trust that you'll just always be our friend and our ally. You've got Israel, Judah, selling weapon systems to Germany, sharing intelligence, exporting fuel in the midst of this war. These nations working with this supposed ally or this lover. I've got time to, I'll play this clip. It's from A Key of David, titled Germany's Break from America. This was back in 2014. This is clip 3.
Verse 7, thus she committed her whoredoms with them, with all of them that were the chosen men of Assyria, and with all on whom she doted, with her, all their idols, and defiled herself. So here you see these two sisters have become lovers with the Assyrians. Well, now who are they? Well, the Assyrians, we've proven for many years, are the Germans. And that too is proven in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy, also on our booklet, Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. Verse 12, she doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, most of that yet to come, captains and rulers clothed most gorgeously. In other words, they're a military power. And that's what Germany has been in World War I and World War II. And they started both of those wars, and they're gaining that military again today, attaining that same kind of power. And here is Israel, the two tribes of Israel and the tribe of Judea, just doting on their lovers. And it's all about the relationship of America and Britain and Jerusalem with Germany. That's what it's talking about. It's an inordinate love. It ends by saying you're alienated from them. Well, I guess so. We've had two world wars with them. That is, Britain and America has fought two world wars against them. And the Jews were some of the greatest victims in World War II. So I would say that we're alienated from them in that sense. When you get down to the core of things, we are alienated from them. They think differently than the way we do in foreign policy and a lot of other things. And God says about this Babylonian system in Revelation 18, we should come out of her. Come out of her.
Come out, not put all of your trust or your faith in this so-called ally. Trump, again, he thinks, well, they're taking, and we provide all of this, and of course Germany's happy to take. And then when that stops, I guess he just thinks, well, we've always been friends and we'll always have the same interests. Just total blindness. I'll just conclude with one more article. This is, again, at The Telegraph. It's titled, Donald Trump is offering Europe a gift. It should take it. By threatening military withdrawal, the U.S. president is giving the continent the push it needs to rearm. Donald Trump is this facilitator of all of these prophecies. And the author of this article, he seems kind of excited about it. You know, this is the impetus that we've been looking for to finally build a strong Europe. I don't know if the transaction has gone through yet and the Telegraph is officially owned by that German company. I think it's Axel Springer or whatever it is. But this sounds really pro-German at the Telegraph. The U.S. president has also given the German government some cover. You know, well, by Trump taking out these troops, well, Germany, they have to fill the gap. Doesn't matter how unpopular it is. Now Trump gives them the cover to do what they have wanted to do all along. He writes, the loss of American cruise missile unit must similarly be seen as an opportunity for Europe to accelerate its plans to stand alone. It's good news in its own way and an opportunity that cannot and should not be ignored. Europe should seize it with thanks. And Trump is like the best thing that's ever happened to Germany. And that will end up being the worst thing that's ever happened to America. You can't win if you're not turning to God. That's what God is after. Well, I want to play a Key of David for you. It's titled, Why America Put Troops in Germany. This is going to be airing this weekend. Again, it's by Mr. Stephen Fleury. It's a new program that will air this weekend. Why America Put Troops in Germany ties in with what we've been talking about. But before that, we'll go ahead and play World Watch. Following World Watch, we'll get into the Key of David. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show, and we will see you again on Monday.
China opened tariff-free access to its market to 53 of Africa's 54 nations starting in May, another advancement of the Chinese Communist Party's global anti-American trade network. The move expands a zero-tariff policy that China put in place for 33 African nations in December 2024. That policy helped lift China-Africa trade to a record $347 billion last year, up 17.7% over the previous year. The new zero-tariff policy aligns with China's broader push to expand its economic trade flows across all of Africa. The push is giving the Chinese Communist Party ever greater control over decision-making in capitals across Africa, while tightening its grip on the continent's supply chains and key maritime choke points. Biblical prophecy warns that countries around the globe will build a vast trade network with China as a major hub. This network's primary purpose will be to block the U.S. and some of its allies out of global trade. To understand the details of this prophesied trade alliance, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches the Development of a Massive Anti-American Trade Bloc. Approximately 5,000 American troops will redeploy out of Germany in the next 6 to 12 months, the U.S. Department of War announced on Friday. The U.S. has 80,000 to 100,000 troops stationed in Europe, more than 35,000 of whom are in Germany. German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius told AFP the decision was anticipated and used the opportunity to frame the withdrawal as yet another reason for Germany to rearm, remarking, "We Europeans must take greater responsibility for our security." President Trump also announced on Truth Social that he will increase the tariff rate on cars and trucks from the European Union from 15% to 25%. This is part of the ongoing prophesied break between America and Germany. EU member states have long relied on the US for protection and benefited from it as a trading partner. But Germany knows that it can build Europe into an unprecedented superpower if it gets these nations to stop relying on the US and look to its leadership. The US troop withdrawal will hasten this trend. To learn more, read "The First of the Ten Kings Unite Against America." Last week, U.S. prosecutors took a rare step against corruption in Mexico by charging the governor of Sinaloa State and nine other officials with drug trafficking and weapons charges for allegedly helping the Sinaloa cartel traffic drugs into the U.S. The indictment alleges that these officials ran a protection racket for the cartel, especially a faction led by the sons of former leader El Chapo. In exchange for bribes and political support, the officials allegedly shielded cartel operations, ignored crimes, and used armed groups to help traffickers, allowing large shipments of fentanyl, methamphetamine, cocaine, and heroin to cross the U.S. border. Conservatives argue that stronger border security, including a border wall, is necessary to stop the flow of illegal drugs. Progressives suggest that legalizing marijuana and decriminalizing harder drugs would reduce cartel profits. Few recognize the deeper root cause, a spiritual sickness that pervades North America. To learn more, read our Trends article, "Why the Trumpet Watches the Moral Decline Fatally Crippling America and UK Society." To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The U.S. has had a strong military presence in Germany since the end of World War II. Understand what removing U.S. troops from Germany could mean for the future of NATO and the world. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
The U.S. relationship with Germany has taken a catastrophic turn after Chancellor Friedrich Merz made a speech earlier in the week saying that the United States was being humiliated by Iran.
It's just true.
Saying that he believes that the United States and Israel began their war on Iran on February the 28th without any kind of plan. He sees no strategy whatsoever, no strategic plan on the part of the United States to find an off-ramp to this conflict. And that, of course, is now leading directly to the president threatening to reduce the size of the American troop force. There are 36,000 American troops stationed in Germany, six separate garrisons, 40 separate military installations, including, of course, the Ramstein Air Base and the Coordinating Strategic Command Center in Wiesbaden. This is exactly the kind of move you would be taking, not only if you wanted to punish the German chancellor, but if you wanted to begin the process of withdrawing from NATO.
If this is how you punish Germany, we're certainly living in a different world than the world that developed following World War II. Has the United States forgotten why it stationed U.S. troops in Germany in the first place? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. A lot to get to. As I say, why did America put troops in Germany in the first place? You listen to some of the discourse today, and it's as if, well, we're there just strictly to protect Germany. Well, that might be a small part of it following World War II, but of course, the huge reason why, coming out of that world war, it was to protect America. It was to protect the world. because coming out of that war, you had Churchill, you had Roosevelt saying Germany can never, 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 never militarize again. It just can't happen for the safety of the world. I mean, this is a nation, Germany, that tried to conquer the world twice in the last century. And look at how quickly we forget that history. Herbert W. Armstrong, all through his ministry spanned much of the 20th century, from the 1930s all the way through to his death in 1986. And I mean, for that consistent half century period, his signature prophecy, you could say, had to do with this seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire that was to be led by a newly reunited Germany. And much of this has happened. I gave a Key of David program a few months ago on the new German war machine. And as it happens, people are applauding this. People are supporting this. People want this to happen. Mr. Armstrong, he was warning about Germany, this German-led empire. Even before World War II, he was warning all through World War II. And then even after World War II, when Germany, much of it, had just been left in rubble, he was saying, Germany's going to rise again. You better get ready. You better be prepared for it. This is from August of 1950. Mr. Armstrong predicted that the world will be stunned, dumbfounded, to see Germany emerge suddenly in a power never equaled by Hitler, by a union of 10 nations in Europe, probably including some at present puppets of Russia, in a gigantic United States of Europe. Soon, the United States of Europe will emerge with Germany at its head. I mean, these puppets of Russia, that was back during the Cold War when he said this. This is in 1950. And he said some of those Russian puppets would join together with this European Federation, and they're now in the EU. So many of them. I mean, there's still some dramatic changes to take place. Revelation 17 says it's going to be downsized to 10 kings, 10 nations or groups under the leadership of Germany. That was Mr. Armstrong's signature prophecy for 5 decades. You saw it on his program, the radio program, then the TV program. It was all over the Plain Truth magazine. I mean, there were other prophecies, certainly, that he talked about, and so many of them are covered in our booklet. He was right. But the signature prophecy, you could say, had to do with the seventh and final resurrection of a German-led European empire. Here's just a sampling of some of the things he said over the years. Clip one.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it, because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming.
And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany. You watch it happen, my friends. Now, that's prophecy. That is the word of God. We didn't gain anything by making an ally out of Russia. Now, did we? Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
There you go. It went on for 50 years. those warnings based on the sure word of Bible prophecy. We had a program recently on the Olivet prophecy there in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, Mark 13. Why don't more people talk about these prophecies of God? I mean, even preachers, they just skip right over it, I guess. And yet they're very sobering. As I say, we'll look at Revelation 17 here in a second. And if you have a Bible near you, please read along, because whether it's Matthew 24 or Luke 21 or Revelation 17, I mean, this is God's. I mean, God is speaking. He's speaking to us. He's pleading with us. He's reaching out to us. And hardly anyone is listening. You heard Mr. Armstrong say there, I mean, everything America has tried to do, I mean, it's ended up helping rebuild this seventh and final resurrection of the Roman Empire, prophesied in your Bible, whether it was the Marshall Plan or those institutions of the UN, NATO, all of these institutions were meant to preserve the peace of the world and really, if we're honest, to keep Germany down because they had tried to take over the world twice. And this is nothing against the German people. God's going to use them in a powerful way in the world tomorrow and beyond. But that has been the history, modern history. It's been a war-making people. And so when you see the headlines at the Atlantic or wherever about them building a new war machine, a modern war machine, it should set off alarm bells. In fact, there was a time not that long ago when it did. When it did. There was a time not that long ago when American commentators understood that U.S. troops were put there in order to protect America and to protect the rest of Europe and to protect the world in that sense. And now we're talking like, well, pulling troops out of Germany, that's how we're really going to punish them. No, actually, it helps them because the path is cleared for them to rebuild, for them to lead the way, for them to be militarized. So much of what Mr. Armstrong described in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, it's already happened. And now we've got the European military as that last unified force to develop. They're already unified politically in many ways, economically. You add the military to the equation, I mean, that is a dramatic fulfillment of Bible prophecy, Herbert Armstrong's signature prophecy. If you want to learn more about some of these prophecies, make sure you request Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? This is one of the classic works that Herbert Armstrong wrote so many, many years ago. And together with that, also request Germany's Secret Strategy to Destroy Iran. Here you see the United States right now, in the midst of war with Iran. And as we've said so many times on this program, on my daily program, the Trumpet Daily, America's not going to finish the job. There's a big show of force. There generally is, but Leviticus 26 talks about our strength being spent in vain. Germany is actually the nation that's going to finish off that King of the South power. And again, that's a discussion for a different time or a different program. We can get into that later. But this one, Germany's secret strategy, it has a strategy. And it's not setting off alarm bells. It should be. Revelation 17, notice this, verse 8. It says, "The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Now, Mr. Armstrong was on the scene for the sixth head of the beast, which is why Revelation 17 and verse 8 is worded the way it is. He saw Hitler's machine. He was there. He was on the scene. He was sounding the alarm. And then following the end of World War II, he immediately sounded the alarm saying, look, the military machine has not been obliterated. The Nazi movement has not been destroyed. In fact, Revelation 17 says it went underground. And it's been underground for some time. Now it's coming out into the open and nobody seems bothered by it. Nobody seems worried. This is from Mr. Armstrong's autobiography. He said this back in 1945. So here we were coming right to the end of World War II. And Mr. Armstrong, standing alone, by the way, said, we don't understand German thoroughness. From the very start of World War II, they have considered the possibility of losing the second round as they did the first. And they have carefully, methodically planned in such eventuality the third round, World War III. Hitler has lost. This round of war in Europe is over, and the Nazis have now gone underground. They plan to come back and to win on the third try. Now, if you don't believe that, well, stick around and watch it unfold. Because so much of what Mr. Armstrong talked about as part of that, it's already been fulfilled. Germany has reunited. He didn't live long enough to see that happen in 1989. He died in 1986, but he was predicting it for decades. And I gave you the quote where it said those Soviet satellites would swing over into the European camp. That's happened. You had the economic union. You have the political union, and now you're getting the military union. And incredibly, it has America's blessing. It has Britain's blessing. As I say, no one seems bothered by it. It's a different time we're living in, very different from the days that followed World War II. In 1945, President Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, the British Prime Minister, they had a joint statement where they said, it is our inflexible purpose to destroy German militarism and Nazism and to ensure that Germany will never again be able to disturb the peace of the world. We are determined to disarm and disband all German armed forces, break up for all time the German general staff that has repeatedly contrived the resurgence of German militarism, remove or destroy all German military equipment, eliminate or control all German industry that could be used for military production. That's why the U.S. put troops there, to ensure that this happened. And now those industries, they're switching over from producing cars or automobiles to military equipment. And we've talked about this on the Key of David as well. We're standing alone, just like Mr. Armstrong did following World War II. But look, even Churchill and Roosevelt, they knew this is our objective here. This is the purpose for putting American troops in Germany, for building American bases in Germany. Verse 12, this is still Revelation 17, it says, and the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. This is referring to the United States of Europe. 10 kings that receive power. They come together. Daniel 2 talks about it being a mixture of iron and clay, and looking at all the participants in Europe, you can see why the Bible describes it as such, because you're bringing in a lot of different peoples and cultures and ideas and views, but they come together for 1 hour, for a short time, and there is power there, and there will be unity. And you can see all of these forces pushing them in that direction, including the United States leadership. Mr. Armstrong's prophecies, what he talked about, we're seeing them happen. Verse 13 says, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. See, this is the very opposite of democracy or giving people a vote. It talks in Daniel 8 about a man coming into power through flatteries, a strong man, to lead a strong Europe. And again, there's a lot of people right now that just want to dismiss the fact that Europe could ever be strong, or that it could ever have an empire, or that it could even have a strong leader. But that's coming. Just wait. Just wait. It's happening. This is, you heard there in the opening clip that we played, again, this catastrophic friction that's there between German leadership and the United States leadership, President Trump and Merz in Germany. And a lot of it, at least most recently, got started when Merz criticized President Trump and the war effort in Iran. This is clip 5.
Today, Germany's Chancellor Friedrich Merz spoke out against the U.S. strategy in the conflict in unusually strong terms. In fact, he said there is no strategy.
The Americans clearly have no strategy, and the problem with conflicts like this is always that you don't have just to go in, you also have to get out again. We saw that all too painfully in Afghanistan for 20 years. So this whole affair is, as I said, ill-considered, to say the least. At the moment, I cannot see what strategic exit the Americans are now opting for, especially as the Iranians are obviously negotiating very skillfully, or rather very skillfully not negotiating. And letting the Americans travel to Islamabad only to leave again without any results. An entire nation is being humiliated by the Iranian leadership, in particular by those so-called Revolutionary Guards.
America is being humiliated, he says, by the Iranian leadership. And when you look at the negotiations for peace, I mean, there's some truth to that. But let's just focus on the dispute or the criticism. When it's aimed at the Trump administration, there's plenty of people in that administration that don't like that. And so President Trump, for his part, he said recently, the United States is studying and reviewing the possible reduction of troops in Germany with a determination to be made over the next short period of time. As you heard in the cold open, I mean, this is what's viewed as punishment. This is America's reaction to Merz's criticism of the Iran war effort. We're going to punish Germany by leaving Germany and leaving Germany to go it alone. Well, what has been the history when that's the case? When Germany has the power to go it alone and the rest of the world just stands by and says, well, go ahead, sure. Build up a war machine. That's fine. They did it in the 30s. And it didn't really alarm too many people, did it? I mean, it did Winston Churchill. But most in Britain and most in America were fast asleep. And they thought it was no problem. Just stay out of the conflict. Once Hitler went on the march, just keep to ourselves, isolate, everything will be fine. And how'd that work out for the United States and Britain? How soon we forget that the primary purpose for positioning U.S. troops in Germany, it was to keep Germany down. That was the primary purpose for establishing NATO, to keep Germany down. Now it seems a lot of nations want to prop Germany up. A lot of nations want to empower Germany. A lot of nations are applauding Germany for taking the lead, for building a war machine. Is this a good thing? Well, we're going to find out pretty soon. American troops, the Trump administration now considering withdrawing American troops from German soil. Listen to this clip from Fox News, clip 6.
More than one-fifth of U.S. active duty troops that are based overseas are based in Germany. And now the president is threatening a drawdown after sparring with German Chancellor Friedrich Merz over Iran. He posted this: the United States is studying and reviewing a possible reduction of troops in Germany with a determination to be made over the next short period of time. His frustration bubbled over on Tuesday when he posted, the Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, thinks it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. He doesn't know what he's talking about. If Iran had a nuclear weapon, the whole world would be held hostage. I'm doing something with Iran right now that other nations or presidents should have done long ago. No wonder Germany is doing so poorly, both economically and otherwise.
Just think about how many earth-shaking decisions or actions are being taken because of, you know, pride or vanity or maybe a back-and-forth criticism publicly. One leader saying one thing about the other, and then the other responding. And now, I mean, we're going to pull out of Germany. We're considering it. And this, as I say, is seen as punishment, I guess. Following the death of Herbert Armstrong in 1986, my father's written before about the late 80s, early 90s, and how we entered into a time of no more delay. And that, I mean, that coincided with the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 and Germany reuniting. And I mean, it's taken some time for the political union, the economic union, the military union. But I mean, with God, 1,000 years is like a day. It's only been 35, 36 years. Look at how much has changed in that time. Dramatic events unfolding. If Mr. Armstrong were here today, I mean, he would be sounding the alarm. You can see why Jesus told us to watch. That would be watch world events, and to pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's talking about his second coming, to stand before Christ at his return. God says, watch. He says, watch world events. He says, stay close to him. Make sure you're praying earnestly. Make sure you don't bog down in riotous living. Verse 34, just to back up a bit, it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or weighed down or oppressed. That's what it means, with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares, it says, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's going to come suddenly. And a lot of the sound bites that we've played on my daily program, the Trumpet Daily, that we've played over the years, I mean, he talks about the suddenness of these prophecies being fulfilled, happening just like the snap of a finger. The Bible speaks of this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and elsewhere. Are you prepared for what's coming? Listen to one last clip from Herbert Armstrong, clip 7.
When Jesus said, watch and pray, for you know not the hour, he was talking about our time and our generation now. And we're not taking it seriously enough, brethren. We're taking it nonchalantly. Oh, yes, we've got the truth. The other churches haven't got it. We're pretty cocky. We think we're pretty good, or do we? We better quit thinking that, and we better get a little better and a little closer to God than we are. I hope you'll take this home to yourself and that you'll spend a little more time on your knees from now on.
Now is the time to draw closer to God, so that we're ready for what's coming. Germany's secret strategy to destroy Iran. That's the next chapter to play out in this whole Iran affair. And then, of course, for a broad sweep of Bible prophecy, particularly with respect to the Holy Roman Empire, the seventh and final resurrection, make sure that you request who or what is the prophetic beast. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you next time.